Hi, this is Roy Worley. Welcome to the interview show that brings on guests from all walks of life. Yeah, it's here that they tell their stories and delve a little deeper into their lives to see what got them where they are. So grab a drink, have a seat, and relax, because this is The Leo Effect.
When was the last time a short movie shook your emotions to the core? When was the last time a short movie caused you to rethink everything you stood for? When was the last time a short movie made you proud to be an American? When was the last time you felt the emotion to stand up and cheer after a short movie? The new short movie, I've Got Your Six, written and directed by Bill Foster, one of the industry's newest and fastest climbing directors, will answer all of those questions. Rarely has there been so much packed into a short movie that when you leave, you'll feel more proud of our American military veterans. A movie that was cast only with American military veterans will have you on the edge of your seat, cheering for our veterans and what makes America great. I've Got Your Six will be hitting the film festival scene soon. Be prepared to drop what you're doing and go see this powerful movie when it comes to your area. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of The Leo Effects. Now, today I'm joined by a guest who he's been rocking for a while, and I'm pretty interested to talk to him and get a little bit of insight into his history and why he does the things he does. But please allow me to introduce my guest for this evening, Mr. Rocky Kramer. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am very well myself. Thank you. It's good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Well, you know, I kind of alluded to it at the beginning there that you've been rocking for a while, and that's kind of what you're known for, like just being this big hair rock band kind of guy. And I'm wondering, what got you into music in the first place?
I come from a musical family. So I'm just so used to the idea of performing in front of people. I know a lot of people talk about stage fright, but I never really had stage fright. I think I always enjoyed being on stage. So I was performing ever since I was 7 years old. Maybe even before that, because my brother and I would play for our babysitter, and like little short concerts. So we've been doing this, or I've been doing this. In my whole family, we've been performing. So we're all performers. That's what we do.
Mm. Okay, right on. Why did you choose? Well, first, let's ask this: what would you consider your style of music?
That's a very good question, and I think I have many answers, but I prefer to call it progressive glam rock, because I want to make emphasis on the fact that it is progressive. For those of you who don't understand the term progressive, we're not talking about politics. It's talking about more complicated stuff, more like Pink Floyd and Queen or Dream Theater, stuff that has strange time signatures and so on, but I don't go crazy with it, but I do like having some of that. And I want to emphasize the glam rock, because a lot of my influences were of the glam rock era, and I do appreciate what they did, even though it's kind of the opposite of progressive. And usually people that like progressive rock, they don't necessarily like glam rock, but I put them together so that nobody's happy.
Well, I like that. I do it so nobody's happy, but you're happy, and that's what matters, right?
I'm happy, and I think that because I like all kinds of different types of music, I think that there are people out there that are like me. You know, we're not that special. You know, we all think we're unique, but there's always other people out there that like the same things that you do, and I think that what I do has an audience.
Oh, absolutely. There's totally an audience. I've listened to some of the things that you've got on YouTube, and I mean, I really like your style. I think that's it's kind of it's exactly like you said. It's very heavily influenced glam rock, but I like the synth mm-hmm. sound you've got, and it's good stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Now you spoke about people not necessarily liking it and things like that. Like,
Do you think that your particular style would be welcomed in Norway?
I do think Norway is appreciative of my type of music, mainly because a lot of that music, or a lot of my influences are of at least of Scandinavian origin. I like a lot of Swedish bands, and Norway does actually have a few progressive bands that are pretty awesome, even though they're not that famous. But they are doing things that I like listening to. But in terms of when it comes to music, I think Norwegians are very open to a lot of different things. You got to keep in mind that Norway is famous for Norwegian black metal.
Right.
And that's something that is not, I would never call it mainstream. It has its own little cult following, but they're very dedicated to it. And there's even people that are willing to learn Norwegian just to understand what the lyrics are about. And it's quite fascinating. So people are you know, people love music in Norway. So I think that they definitely appreciate what I do, because a lot of the influences that I have are influences to a lot of other musicians there.
Right on. So, mm-hmm. Cool. Now, when you started out, you were originally learning the violin and kind of violin by day, rock star by night.
I like that.
Do you think, has your father kind of come around to the fact that you're a rock star now?
Sure. You know, when I started out, because he's retired, he played the first violin in the Trondheim Symphony Orchestra for 40 years. So his background is classical, and my background was classical too, because I started out on the violin. When I first wanted to play guitar, he didn't really want me to. He was more pushing the violin. He thought that, and it was mainly because he thought I had the talent for it, that I could probably go somewhere. I mean, I was offered to play on television when I was like 12 or 11 or 10 or 11 with the violin. So I definitely had the potential. I just didn't necessarily want to play that particular instrument, mainly because when I started playing guitar, I fell in love. I thought it was just a very incredible instrument that I could really express myself on, which I didn't feel the same way with the violin. The violin was more play music that was written 300 years ago type of a thing, whereas on the guitar, I would just sit there and learning chords and actually write music. And I think that it was the songwriting that made me enjoy the guitar the most. So fast forward to today, to actually answer your question, my dad has been very supportive. He was actually here when we had the release party for my album Firestorm, and he actually flew in from Norway, so which he didn't have to do. And I obviously offered him, you know, that, you know, you can go, you know, you're certainly welcome, but you don't have to, because it's a long flight, and he's not a young man, so it didn't want it to be too exhausting. But he did it, he said it was the moment of a lifetime. He had a great time. And he didn't regret it at all.
That's awesome. It's great to have support like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, that's wonderful.
Where do you think you would be if music hadn't worked out for you?
That's a great question. I've been through a lot of different phases of my life. When I was very young, I was more interested in space. And not that I wanted to be an astronaut. I don't want people to get that confused. But I did... definitely wanted to study space somehow, maybe work for NASA, just not as an astronaut. That would have been a satisfying job for me. I've always been more into science than other things. What else do I like? I think I've looked at other things. I studied film before I moved to LA, so that's another thing that I'm also interested in. And I'm definitely, you know, my record label is Allied Artists Music Group, which is also a film company. So there are, even though the coronavirus is now messing up with all our plans, Allied is about to bring back movies. So it's something I definitely want to be involved in. But there's a lot of things. I'm interested in a lot of things. I think even law enforcement would be something I could get into. I always liked at least the aspect of investigating crime scenes and so on. It's also something that's interesting to me.
Nice. Well, it sounds like you have no shortage of backup options.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Well, you know, kind of talking about the coronavirus, like, it kind of put a stopper on a lot of people's stuff. Are you still doing, like, live streams on Facebook or anything like that? Like, are you still putting stuff on YouTube? Like, anything coming out?
I put out another cover song today. That's what I've been doing. Really, I actually started doing it slightly, like, right before the coronavirus hit hard. I put out a cover of Comfortably Numb, and I just been kept doing that. And because I can't perform, and I enjoy doing that, I make videos, you know, in front of green screen and so on to make something. I put one out today by, I made a cover of Keep You On My Side by Churches, which is a smaller band, but they're, I think they're really good. They're also, they're really into the synths and the 80s, mm-hmm. and sort of bringing back kind of like the good vibes of the 80s, but with a modern touch, so I can really get into that. I made a metal version though, so I've kind of flipped it around a little bit, made it more into something that maybe more my fans would want to hear. So I've been enjoying doing that. I have adopted live streaming with Twitch. I've been doing shows. I've been doing them every Tuesday, and I basically just do a lot of just like songs that I feel like doing. And I think it's a nice way to do something that isn't the same show every night, because we were on tour just before Christmas in the UK and we were playing the same show every night. But now I can kind of do different things, and I can think of something last minute, and I can try to find a way to make it work. And there's not as much structure. I create the structure. I just decide what I want to do, and it's fun. And I can also do requests. If people want me to do a certain song, I can do it pretty much in a minute notice. So nice. It's a nice change, and it gives me the opportunity to be seen by different people. But it does hurt to know that, like, I can't go on a stage and play in front of real people for a while. Not sure how long it's going to be, but we are looking at ideas like a drive-in concert or something where people can safely distance themselves from each other, but still be able to rock and roll.
Yeah, that'd be
night,
cool.
All night and party every day.
Nice. So it sounds like you like both the whole live aspect shows and the recorded ones.
Well, there's two different challenges there. When you're recording something, you can really, you know, I don't necessarily want to say perfect something, but you can really capture something that is maybe very unique. And if you don't capture it, you can try again. And maybe take six is the one that you want to use. And that ends up being the way that you show it to the world. But when you're performing live, whether it's in front of an audience or on the internet, you have one opportunity to do it right, at least for the most part. So it's a different mentality. It's the performance mentality versus just being in the studio, being very comfortable and being able to do it over and over again. You have to perform. You have to do it right the first time. So it's a nice challenge, and I like it. I'm pretty comfortable with it. I've been performing a lot my whole life, so I'm pretty used to the idea of doing it, whether it's in front of a camera or in front of hundreds of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can imagine there's challenges with both of them that you have to kind of face head on. But like, what's your mm-hmm. most memorable show?
Of a live show
or recorded
on the internet. I think I'm just starting out with the Twitch stuff, so that's more something that I'm probably tweaking. But in terms of live, we've done some, we had some, we were touring with Buck Cherry now in November, and it was great. I grew up in Norway, so it was great to, it was actually really my first time being able to see England, and it was really fun to actually perform in London, because I've always wanted to, I've been to Heathrow so many times, I've never been outside, all of a sudden I'm playing there, and that's a pretty cool feeling. So it's nice being able to play for a new audience every night, just to see how they feel about your music, because they were exposed to it for the first time, and sometimes they love it, sometimes they don't, and that's the part, that's the lesson you have to learn. You know, you can't expect everyone to love it, but it's always great to get feedback from people that have no reason to say anything nice, you know, because a lot of people will. A lot of people will say nice things, and that's good, but sometimes if you work with someone, you might be nicer to them because you work together, but somebody who's there to see another band, and they say, you know what, you were really good, then it's like, you didn't have to say that, but okay, that's great.
That's cool. How do you create a song? Like, do you come up with your own lyrics and everything, or do you have someone that writes for you and you make it come to life? Like, what's your creative process?
What's the process? I think there's two ways. There's two main ways that I write a song, and the first way is the one that I use for the most part, and that is, first of all, I never try to force a song out. I think if you want to be creative, you have to just let it happen, and it's either going to happen, now, or maybe it's next week, or maybe it's in an hour from now. You don't know, so it's important to spend time with instruments, preferably not the same instrument every day. I've learned one thing, and it's that inspiration sometimes comes from doing something or playing something on an instrument that you're not used to. So maybe on a keyboard, you can bring up a different, I'm actually touching my keyboard right now. You can't see it, but you might be able to hear it though. and just playing with an instrument you're not used to hearing, because it brings out something else. And that could be the beginning of a song. I usually like melodies and chord progressions to direct me. And then at some point, there's maybe half of a song, or there's a verse or a chorus. Then I try to figure out, what is the song? What's the rest of it? And then the very last thing is always the lyrics. The lyrics, they always come in last. And usually I have the melody for the lyrics. So the challenge is to make it fit. So you might have so you have to fit words in that match that rhythm, and that's not always easy. And I've burned myself sometimes when I try to do that. I do also want to mention the other way, which might be the easiest way to write a song, is, and anyone can really do it, I think. If you have a message you want to get across, which might be the chorus, it's like that line is, I like pizza, you just say, I like pizza, and then you make a melody out of that, and then you just write a song around that. That's the other way you can do it. So you start out with, you just let the words do most of the work. But I sit down in front of a computer, I write all the notes in a program that's called Guitar Pro, which allows me to add at least most of like little things you can do on a guitar, but you can also add drums, bass, keyboards, and pretty much any type of instrument. So by the time that I have a song sort of finished, it's actually, I have something I can listen to, which is only an instrumental version, but I can actually listen to it. And that gives me a lot of clarity in terms of how I'm going to record it. So it's basically the first demo before I have anything recorded. It's just a little, really small file on my computer, but it's very helpful.
That's awesome. That's an amazing way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is your favorite part about being a rock star?
I think people need people need entertainment, and they need people to look up to. And it always makes me feel good when I do something that I've worked on for a long time, and I get messages from people I don't know who they are, but, on the internet, and they're just telling me that, thank you for doing this, or this really made my day, or something. I get a lot of sweet messages from people that are just you know, just fans, and they don't owe me anything. I don't owe them anything, and it's just it's a nice thing, and it's nice being able to make a difference to someone that you've never met and you may never meet, but they're out there listening to your music and watching your moves, and that's great. It's something that, you know, a lot of people don't get to experience because it's just not what they do. So it's wonderful. I love performing. I think being able to perform in front of people and making sure that they have a good time, I think that's important. We all enjoy a good performance, whether it's real entertainment or if it's, you know, something that's a movie or something that's on a screen, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's all about the fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, kind of flip the script on that a little bit. What's your least favorite part?
Least favorite part? The least favorite part is probably the... And I'm trying to make you know, lemonade out of lemons.
Mm-hmm.
I do think I have that one upside down. But what is it? Make lemons? If you have...
If life gives you lemons,
make lemonade. That's right. Which I think is great. Just on a side note, that Beyonce made an album called Lemonade. That's brilliant. Anyway, I think right now the bad thing is that I'm dependent on people being able to go somewhere just for fun, to be in a room or in a big area to stand right next to each other to watch a rock and roll show, and that's something that they can't do right now. So that's a bit of a bummer for me, and obviously the rest of the industry, because it's a little bit hard for us to know what to do other than doing something on the internet, mm-hmm. and doing other things. But I think in general, if we're not gonna talk about current times, just in general, I think that it's easy to be in this industry for the wrong reasons. So it's important to work with people that are not completely ruined by drugs and other things, or people that are more into just promoting themselves, which is kind of what you have to do. But you know, it's about working together for a good cause. You know, it's tough. It's a tough business. Everybody wants a piece of the pie, and the pie is not that big.
Mm.
So I think it's important to be appreciative of the opportunities that we get, because you know, one day they're all gone. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So it's been I can definitely say that, and I actually wrote a song about it, which won't be out for a while, but I actually wrote a song about how the music industry has given me a life that I wouldn't have had otherwise, basically. You know, it's you get to experience things that maybe most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
So because a lot of people, they don't get to experience any type of fame or any type of exposure, even though it's a little bit different nowadays with social media. I mean, technically, you know, grandma at 90 years old could become the biggest thing on TikTok, and that's great for grandma, but maybe sometimes just being famous in and of itself is not what we should pursue. It's you have to have a message. You have to what's your purpose with it? So that's something that it's important to me, that at least I think that I have songs that are at least have a message to that at least some people are able to understand.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I you know, having a message is definitely something cool that a lot of musicians, you know, they try to do, but I don't think it comes across clearly.
Right. And it's hard. I admit that. And I, you know, English is my second language, so sometimes I realize that I made maybe something got lost in translation, and that's something that I really worked hard on to make sure that the next album is not gonna have any moments like that, because I do want it's good to have a message, but people do have to be able to understand it. I think all the way through, it's good to be a little cryptic and enigmatic, but that's good. But you also want to make sure that people understand. And I try to write my lyrics in a way that you can read it one way, and that's fine. But there's everything has a second meaning. Everything, at least it either has a second meaning or there's a story behind that line. So even though it may not make sense to you, like for example, Rockstar, the first line is "My body's like a milkshake." Now that's a ridiculous line, but it actually is a reference to me when I was like 13 years old. I was a big fan of Thin Lizzy, and they have a song called "Cold Sweat." And the first line is, "I put my money in a suitcase, and I'm heading for the big race." And the "I put my money in a suitcase," because I didn't know what the line was, just sort of slowly morphed into "my body's like a milkshake." Ah. So the line is not actually designed to mean anything in and of itself, even though it could be interpreted in various ways. It's really just a reference to the fact that, you know, I was confused. I was learning. I'm not a perfect human being. And that's the first line on the album. It's basically gibberish.
That's awesome.
but it's just, you know, it sets you up. It's like, okay, just realize you don't start off perfect. You have to learn everything you do, everything that we do as human beings. We have to learn it. No matter how simple it is, whether it's putting your pants on in the morning, you have to learn how to do that at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that just starting off the album, even though I probably would have done it differently today, but that's for Firestorm 2, obviously, right?
Right. That's awesome, though. Well, with this last little bit, I'd like to open it up and you can tell people what your different social medias are so that they can follow along with all your cool stuff.
Okay. Absolutely. I think the easiest way to begin is by going to rockycramer.com. There are links there to my social media. It's usually Rocky Kramer. It is Rocky Kramer, just one word. If you go to Twitter or Instagram, even YouTube, but Facebook, it's Rocky Kramer Official, because Rocky Kramer is something else. I think it's a dog. It's a dog named Rocky Kramer.
Oh,
so I lost my chance there. But Rocky Kramer will get you places.
Awesome. And of course, I'm going to put links to that in the podcast description, so any listeners can click those links and head over there to all the different social medias of Rocky's.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So I just want to say, Rocky, thank you so much for coming on the show today and answering a whole bunch of questions that I had about you. It's been a blast talking to you. You're an awesome guy, and you've got some really big things coming in the future. I'm excited to keep listening, and, you know, I'm going to subscribe and jump on all your socials, so I hope the listeners do too.
Hey, thanks for having me. I had a very good time.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And thank you to the listeners who tuned in to check this out. Make sure you get over to Rocky's social medias. You've got to follow along because, like he said, there's stuff coming and deep messages that need translation. And we all have to work together to figure out if we are all milkshakes. But thank you all very much. And we'll see you all next time. Oh, now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.